And so throughout college, Landor, Beardwood, and my current studio, and I've been the only Black designer. That was the main drive. Hey, I want to see more representation in the design industry because we see this problem, this lack of in many other industries. What can I do to fix that in the design? And so thought is, well, you got to start young because when you raise up a child in the way that they should go, it should be, in a beneficial way, in a way that they're able to express themselves in all facets.
Package Design Unboxed, a show about packaging, design, and everything in between. I'm Avelio Matos, and on today's show, Dion Mixon talks about Design Eye, a board game he developed to both expose and teach youth of color the six foundations of design: branding, print, environmental, web, motion, and package design.
Thanks for joining us. We've got Dion Mixon Jr., graphic designer, game developer, and violinist. Born and raised in Detroit, City of Design. Welcome to Package Design Unboxed.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited about this.
Yeah, man, I'm super stoked to have you. You're a junior, so am I. You know,
yeah.
From one junior to another, thank you for being on.
Oh, no much... problem. I don't even go by junior, but no, that's fine. I'm just Dion Mixon, but I put that out there just for people to know the facts and stuff like that.
How much pride comes with being a junior?
Well, a lot. I guess, for people who are really close to me, they know, because when I was younger, they would call me Little D. And then now that I'm older, it's just Dion. And then you only know in context which Dion someone's referring to. But I think being a junior is really dope because it's one of those things where you're really uplifting the name, so Mixon and making my dad proud and that kind of thing. So,
yeah.
I don't know, but I'm still my own person.
Yeah, no, it's funny. It's like as the older you get and you carry that name with you, there's that pride just continues to build. Yeah, it's awesome. I was reading about this game, Design Eye, that you launched. And I see your shirt. It's a I love that icon, man. That's a killer icon. It's a graphic design education game, right? And it beautifully explains everything about design theory in just such a simple and precise manner. And I want to dig into every aspect of that game, including how it teaches people package design. That's what I'm super excited about. Before we do that, I'll learn a little bit more about you, if that's okay.
Yeah, for sure. So born and raised here in Detroit. I actually started off in music. I played violin for 7 years throughout school. But also at home, I would draw. I had my own little kitty drawing desk or whatnot when I was younger, probably kindergarten time. And I would draw cars because my dad, he's a Ford auto worker. And but later throughout middle school, high school, I would draw anime, so Dragon Ball Z, Yu-Gi-Oh, Pokemon. And so I knew I had that visual art talent or interest there, then music. And then once I got into eighth grade, I was thinking about just my career, the future. And the high school I went to, it's a college prep high school, so I knew that going to Cass Tech High School, that they would prepare me for college. So whatever I pursue in high school will be something I pursue in college. So a counselor at the time, the end of eighth grade, she was saying, hey, look at graphic design. I know you like to draw. There's some visual interest there besides music. Check this out. And when she was showing me some billboard of different examples of graphic design in the hallway, and I just thought it was really cool. Me and my mom, we were there. And the end of the conversation was pretty much that, hey, Dion, this is an opportunity for you to help people get their ideas out, and you can make a living doing that. And I thought that was just the dopest thing ever. So that was really what drove me to pursue design. So went to Cass Tech, my high school. I didn't learn too much, but I got to, playing around with Photoshop and Illustrator. But then once I got to college, it was all from there. Yeah. And so I went to Western Michigan University, BFA in graphic design. And the network, the crew, I call it my crew, that I have now is just so amazing. They're amazing people. I love them to death. And it's just, we can just, collaborate with anything, about anything. And I think my time at Western really built the foundation of who I am as a designer. And I've always was interested in brand identity. That was my main focus in transitioning to New York. Well, first, that's the big chunk of how I got into design. So I graduated from Western, and then I went out to Europe for a study abroad class. It was a letterpress printing class, and this was May to June. I was out there for a month. We were in Italy, Switzerland, Germany, Netherlands, and France. the class was like 70% vacation, but and then 30% work. But no, those are like a really dope time to be able to actually experience putting type on a composition stick and then putting it on the bed and that kind of thing. So that was a cool learning experience. Then once I got back home, I ended up getting an offer to work at Landor as a design intern through my network at Western Michigan. So I moved out to New York like July 2017, 3 months at Landor, 3 months at Beardwood.
So with that, right, with getting an opportunity to be an intern at Landor, how does that come about? Did you apply for a specific internship? Did the school reach out to Landor, or did Landor find you? Like, how did that work?
So my design program at Western Michigan, they have a really big extern network. Mm-hmm. So a lot of alumni. And in the program, your sophomore and junior year, they take you to Chicago, like a professional development trip, to visit studios, get to know the culture, the lay of the land. And then your senior year, they take us to New York to do the same thing. But this time, we bring our portfolios. So we have portfolio reviews with these different creative directors from these different studios. And a lot of these directors were alumni from our program. And so it was that connection that really like pushed forward on those opportunities. And so at the time, I presented in front of two directors at Landor. And this was like May of 2017, early May, right after graduation. And like that Tuesday, I got an email to work as a design intern. So that was really how I wasn't even trying to go to New York. I was just to stay home in Detroit, be a designer in Detroit. But I couldn't, you know, miss that opportunity. So that's how I got into Landor. And then Sarah, she's from Western, or she graduated from Western. So that's how I got to Beardwood. So.
Yeah, it's funny that I had Sarah on not too long ago. So what did you do at Landor? Like, what's an internship at Landor like?
So it's a small design team. It was a big, like, space. And at the time, I was there, probably like five of us as designers, some strategists and writers, like in another area. The studio space felt very corporate. It was like in a high rise in New York, in Manhattan, and pretty much two designers for a project, and that could be an identity project. We got to come up with a logo for this company, then figure out the color palette, you know, all the main visual identity elements. And then there were some like local projects that I helped work on. I think, and mainly corporate, like B2B, some B2C. That was about it. I think it was a cool experience. You know, we'll pin up our sketches on the wall, the crit wall, that kind of thing. But it's really the teammates I had, they were really there for you or there for me, like to help me with whatever questions I needed or any like design expertise or whatnot. So it was a big first learning experience because that was my first time in a professional round.
And then you went to Beardwood.
Yes. Right. That was like November of 2017, and it was the same thing, dope team. Most of my projects were internal. I did get a chance to work on Sabra, Hummus, Colgate, and I think that's what I can remember off the top.
Those are big projects, man. Those are definitely things, you know, you're tucking away in that portfolio, right?
Yeah.
But one question about the internship is, what do you think impressed those agencies the most? And what stood out the most about your work to them, you know, if you had to guess?
I would say my storytelling. So, and my passion for the projects that I believe in. I mean, any project I work on, I'm gonna believe in it. And so, and this is like from feedback from directors and others. They really enjoy how I really dive in and tell the story of the concept behind my project. So whether it be the flag or the rebranding for a piece of chain back in Detroit, I was identifying a problem that I felt needed to be solved. And, you know, and I put the work in and, you know, I just told the story, even if it's like related to me in some way. Like I designed these icons or these instrumental icons because when I was younger, when I would perform in front of the judges for the violin, there was no way to like find like a workshop room where in case your instrument string chopped off or whatever. So like using my real life experiences to help like fuel the effort to like solve this problem. So I think that storytelling part and the passion behind that is really important, because if you're going to be passionate about your work, then you could be passionate about some client's work and have that same energy.
That's definitely something to take with you throughout your career. For you, for anybody, is just that passion. It definitely helps move things forward. Okay. What were your biggest takeaways from your time at Landor and Beardwood?
Ooh, biggest takeaways, I think, or at least at Landor, because they're like slightly different cultures, but I would say the magnitude of the projects we're working on. So, like, you know, these are big, giant clients, but it was still a chill environment. So I didn't feel anxious or pressured. It was a very collaborative, you know, environment. And I think, learning how to approach an identity as different angles was most important. And then just different techniques to get to the correct or close enough solution,
sure,
and feel good about it. And just learning, like, what's not working, what is working, and then listening to, you know, client likes and dislikes.
Yeah, and, you know, internships are definitely a learning experience, you know, and this kind of, I think, probably ladders up to your game, right? Because you're learning in this environment, and now you've created a game that then teaches, and I would assume you would take some of those same lessons and apply it there.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, you went big, like, right from the start, right? Like, you're in school, and you redesigned the Detroit City flag.
Yes.
Yep. They haven't adopted it yet.
Not yet.
But you designed it. Your storytelling behind that is amazing. Just going through, like, the choices that you made, the colors that you selected. How did that process, like, designing that flag and pushing it, you know, trying to get it adopted, how has that changed the way that you approach design from a, maybe from a business standpoint and convincing others to follow your lead?
So I had gotten to that project because of that TED Talk. So that was the main inspiration. And being a Detroiter and then being a designer in Detroit, I just felt it was really important that we, you know, improve our visual presence to the world. And I'm just a self-motivated, driven person anyway. So if it's something I really believe in, I'm going to do what it takes to make it come to fruition. In this case, the flag is a difficult thing because there are politics involved or could be involved. So it's a more difficult operation to accomplish, but nevertheless, I still have a lot of supporters behind me. And it really just takes, you know, going downtown or going to the community and showing a flag around and educating them in like 30 seconds or less. And then really like pressing them to like go to the website, fill a petition out, or just look into it and doing that consistently enough.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely not an easy process to change a flag. But I think there's definite lessons in that, you know, when you're working with clients and getting them to understand your point of view.
Yeah. And I will point out that there's a lot of research into that, right? So I would ask, I remember being on Facebook asking, what colors come to mind when we think of Detroit, or what do you think Detroit is best known for, or why do you think Detroit is great? And so really listening, so as we will listen to clients, listening to the community, so whatever you create could be a reflection, a true reflection of their desires, their wants, their identity, since they are who make up the city. So that played a big part in it as well, for sure.
And the current Detroit flag, the design for that was adopted. Yeah, definitely thumbs down. But the current flag was adopted 10 years after the designer died.
Yeah, it's 1948. David
Hyman. How long before your design gets adopted?
Was this 2020?
Yeah.
I'm going to put money on, and this is me being just considerate of the factors, the forces against me, but I'm going to bet like 2040. I feel good about 2040.
2040?
If not all sooner, right. just because, I don't know, I don't want to speak too much on the city officials right now, but that's just that's worst case.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, that's good. Yeah, we'll go with 2040.
Yeah,
we'll push for 2022, but yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
All right, so one of the things that your site says is that you are not about making a mark; you're about making a point. And I think making a mark is about leaving an impression, and making a point is about being understood. What do you want people to understand about your work?
I want them to understand that whatever I or anyone else creates should be something that really moves people, and to get them to think about the world at large, to get them to think about others, to be selfless and altruistic. There are a lot of things that can come out of like really impacting a community through design. And so, for example, like something like a flag, it can really like transform the spirit of that people, of that organization, or of that community, in a way that the way of life is so much better or different from how they used to do things. And so from a simple rebrand or to a new motion or animation for a company, like it really amplifies like the presence of that entity, but that really touches the hearts and minds of people, their audiences. So it's really less about what you actually create, but more about the feeling that you give people and how they connect. So, and that's the point that I want people to understand. So
that's awesome. And I think that definitely comes across in your work. So for this game, you graduated, you interned, you got this flag out there, which picked up a lot of press. And then you just launched a Kickstarter for your board game, which is Design Eye, a graphic design education game. And it just got funded. So congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. I'll have you about that.
Where, all right. And this is kind of a weird question, man, but like, where does the audacity to think that you can create a life-changing game like this, like, where does that come from? Right? And it can be life-changing because it opens doors in the minds of players that may not have been opened otherwise. You know, is it Detroit, your upbringing, your family? Like, where does that come from?
Now, I was prompted my junior year of college to think of thesis ideas. So that's where it started. And then from there, again, like being passionate about, you know, leaving that point on how can I like help the world or help my community? And then just looking at like my life. So there's a lot of self-reflection. So, you know, I'm Black, I'm a designer in a family who is not creative. Like none of us are, much of my family are creative. The Detroit citizens, there's a small Detroit design community in Detroit. And when I think about, now that I'm in this space, like, you know, my dad didn't think, you know, design was a worthy job or whatnot, because that's just a typical thing, right? And so throughout college, Landor, Beardwood, and my current studio, and I've been the only Black designer, that was the main like drive. Hey, I want to see more representation in the design industry because we see this problem, this lack of in many other industries. What can I do to fix that in the design? And so thought is, well, you got to start young because when you raise up a child in the way that they should go, it should be, you know, in a beneficial way, in a way that they're able to express themselves in all facets. And so that's what it really came down to. And also just growing up around, you know, kids of color who only resort to sports or business or entertainment. So, and then, but seeing these same kids crank out crazy, stupid drawings like that blow your mind. And they're just so creative, but they don't know that they can make a living out of being creative. So that's where it started.
You know, being an immigrant growing up in Queens, for me, it was very much a similar thing where, you know, everybody around me was, you know, either going into sports or music, but my dad would make me draw a lot also. So there's a lot of drawing as a kid. And then that kind of took me a while to figure out that's what I wanted to do, but it was never like, oh, design's not an opportunity. You know, that wasn't part of the culture, you know, in my household. It just kind of happened that that's where you go. So it's definitely about opportunity. And this game, you know, you mentioned Louis Kahn as inspiration behind some of this.
Yeah.
With Design Eye, ultimately, what does this game want to be?
Ooh. So Design Eye wants to be really a soul driving force for these youth, for anybody really who may be interested in another career. And what I learned about Louis Kahn was that he wanted to make sure that these buildings, that these structures really are alive. Like how he mentioned having a soul. So like, and it's the same thing as getting to that point, not the mark, right? It's not really about the building, the structure, but it's about how this thing makes the users of that space feel, how it really touches their hearts and makes them feel good to be alive in this space. That's what I want Design Eye to be, this catalyst for like a better life, a better state of progressive thinking or a way forward to like figure out what you want to do or make you believe that, yes, you can do this. You can use your talents to, you know, do wondrous things and change the world. So I would say a catalyst, a live catalyst that just really pushes you to believe in yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So looking at packaging, right? Because this is a packaging podcast, man. I was super interested in learning about you and kind of your background and everything that you've done. But with Design Eye, the packaging is very bare. And honestly, it's unlike any board game packaging that I've seen, other than like, you know, some of the card games, the Cards Against Humanity, right? Which is like black and white. But like, why no full color graphics? Why no character illustrations of some like cliche designer running down Madison Avenue with a portfolio under their arm and sketches flying out, you know, like the Operation or Monopoly style? Where did the idea for this like blank slate come from?
I love that question. So in college and some of our projects, whenever we would get a new project, our professors would intentionally not show us the finished product from another student, just so we can think about how we will approach that, you know, our design. And so they didn't want us to be influenced by something that's already out there. But that was an even more greater push to get us to think more originally, or more authentically about our approach. So that's part one. Well, that's the main reason. And also, as a blank canvas, I didn't want, so in the studio booklet, there's enough content for them to be exposed to what these different types of design are, right? But then for the blank canvas, I really want their ideas to be projected on the piece of paper. I want their ideas to kind of, you know, take the stage, because it's about them and their ideas, not so much the work of others. The work of others are an example, like a nice appetizer to what you're getting into. But then you are what shines. Your work is what shines. And so that's how that came about, or that's what I intended. And I'm also just a minimalist. I think the lessons are more, and I think there's something profound in that. And it just goes back to the mark versus the point, single dot versus a jot on a piece of paper. There's something very profound in the simple, in the simplicity of things. But yeah, just giving players like that room to breathe, that room to shine.
You get the box, right? And you open it up, you read the instructions, you start rolling the dice. Now, how does a player design packaging when it's their turn?
So far, youth, they've struggled just a tiny bit about the packaging exercise, only because they're thinking about the product and not the package for the product. Mm-hmm. But once they get it, I guess for the serious players, they really try to be as innovative as they can. And they're just sketching out like a box or some new shape for some product. Yeah. That's really what's to it. And
so during your turn for the packaging exercise, for example, then you're sketching out what the packaging looks like. And then is the goal be the first to build a portfolio of packaging design or graphic design, or is it to build the best portfolio?
The goal is to be the first to finish your portfolio, which consists of all of your ideas, all of your sketches. So it's really not limited to any of the disciplines, but it took you exploring in all of those disciplines to craft up all your work. And the metric of winning, I just, you know, use points as that measure. So 100 points gets you this one portfolio card, and that takes two sketches if you only did sketching. And so imagine if you have 5 portfolio cards, so that's 10 sketches, and that could be from any of the disciplines, right? At the end, you see all of the work you just created. And that's where the game ends as far as winning. But in the critique moment, that's where people get to really like sharpen one another, give each other feedback, be the judge. And that's where the subjectivity starts. So I wanted to find a balance between that, because who's to say that, hey, you're going to be the winner because you have the best ideas, but others may disagree. So there's that element to it. And so I'm thinking of like other ways for I'm going to have a new version, a more challenging version of design in the future. But I want to make it as introductory and as simple as possible, and leave the critique part of it as the place to, you know, share your thoughts on somebody's idea and design. It's about building your body of work, you know, cranking out those ideas and then being the first to do that. But in real life, it's not a race.
Right.
It's not a race. It's a marathon, not a sprint. So
are there guidelines in the game for critiquing one another's work?
Yeah, so you have to critique them based on whether they obeyed the prompt and whether their idea is a good idea. So for example, you landed on branding, you had to sketch or create a name and sketch a logo for a food chain. And let's say you messed up and didn't sketch for a food chain, but like a tech company. So like that, you can lose a vote on that. And then the critics, they have to be as, you know, honest as possible. Because you want to give them, you know, genuine feedback. Because again, you're sharpening one another. You know, that's also, there's no time limit on presentation and critique. Because I want people, especially youth, to be able to articulate their idea the best way they can, you know, sell themselves. And I want the critics to be able to give, you know, constructive feedback in a way where they talk about, you know, what's not working, what is working.
You know, I picture your time at Landor and Beardwood tying back to some of this as well. So in the game, there's cards that show you, give you examples of form and shape, color, you know, color theory. You kind of go into all of these big, broad concepts, but you boil them down to just one card. You know, some of that simplicity, I think, is really important. How do you teach design on a card? Like, how are you able to synthesize that down?
Yeah, so, and that was like one of the challenges in creating Design Eye, because you know, how do you, because design is just so big,
right?
How do you box it up? And especially for youth who have no idea what this is, they're just like, what? So, you know, make introductory. That was like the keyword, and simple. That was the keyword. And I chose those disciplines and theories, you know, based on my opinion, what the most common principles we come across. And so for like, you know, color theory, you know, knowing your complementary colors and your analogous colors, like those are the basic first things that you really learn.
And you've got you have color wheel in there also. So it kind of like gives you just a visual.
Yeah. And so everything is just like an appetizer, just a starting point. And then so for typography, the different typeface versus a font and the weight, width, posture, and point size. But then if you notice in the studio booklet, there's a little section on type anatomy. I didn't have that in the actual cards because that's a little bit more, you know, advanced. So saving the advance for the big guys. And then form, no, not many designers, you know, even our age, know about Gestalt. And I thought that was just really cool to, you know, put in there because it is important. People don't realize that designers, they use these different principles to create their designs. And I thought that would be, you know, enough challenge to pique someone's interest. And then of course, history, around 30 history bits of information. And even on the cards, the answer may be of one designer that's in the booklet, but then there are other designers that you could research into.
So can you give me an example of like a history card?
So who invented the World Wide Web? You know, was it Tim Berners-Lee? Was it Albert Einstein or Steve Jobs or something? And then you kind of find out that Tim Berners-Lee, he's a British scientist who did that. And
it wasn't Al Gore? I thought Al Gore took credit for the internet.
No. And so, right. So the internet was actually developed by DARPA, but it's a teaser thing. Who invented paper and the printing press? And so all of these things of history that contributed to design, past and present. But I think that's really important to know the history of design as well.
Yeah. No, it's important. And when you talk about packaging, right, when anybody talks about packaging, really what we're talking about is, you know, form, shape, size, color, texture, and then there's also the functionality and purpose. How does the game teach all of that?
So the design eye doesn't go too much into like those parts of packaging design. I mean, I do hint at it. I talk about, you know, think about the materials that you're using. Like you want to be sustainable, thinking about how it will protect the product. So I do have some sentences in there that, you know, point out those broad checklist boxes, if you will. But it really just gets the player to just start sketching out what they think would be the best solution, packaging solutions for this product. And that's to, you know, keep it as introductory as possible. If you had like each discipline as like a level bar, I wanted to keep it like pretty balanced out. I didn't want one category to be more fleshed out than the other. Because I do have bias for branding, so I wanted to you know, keep it flat. So I don't go that much into depth because then it would be. I didn't want it to make overwhelming, especially for youth, amount of information. But then that would be, you know, up for the educators to further in onto those topics, right, in the classroom.
You know, I can see every designer out there buying this game for their family. One, it's impossible to explain what it is that you even do for a living to your family, you know?
Right.
Or to your kids. Like my kids are like, what do you, you know, they find a box like, hey, you should look at this box. It's really cool.
Yeah.
Like, they get excited about it because they understand that I do packaging. Yeah. I think this game is a great way to explain to your family. Like, this is what I do, you know?
Yeah.
What's the age range for this?
13 and older. And I've had as young as 10 or 8, 9 and 10 year olds play. And of course, some kids are more mature than others, but ideally for 13-year-olds, because I wanted to make sure that the game was easy enough for just those students to play if they have to learn on their own. And you will like from the test plays I've had, you will see the like jump of like, oh, they get it right off the bat, simply because they're older. So 13 was a good number to keep it at for the minimum. But kids younger can definitely play, but of course have an adult around.
So for the game, you're doing a second version that you said you're working on.
Yeah.
I see the game that you've got now as this needs to be in every studio, in every design school, every high school, middle school. Yes. Right. Like this is a great introduction to a career path in a fun way. And you've simplified it so much that it's fun and attainable.
Yes.
What's the second game?
Design Eye Pro. is what it would be called. And it would be a more challenging version for mainly adults and or people who have been familiar with Design Eye, the classic version. And I still haven't figured it out yet as far as how it will look. But it'll be more strategic. I've gotten feedback from players. Of course, adults will want something more or less introductory. Because we're older. So I'm thinking about a more strategic way to get points, a more interesting way to have critique, to judge, like who's, you know, the director or who's to decide this person wins the job or whatever it is. And so Design Eye Pro will be that. It will still have some educational elements in it. So I'll like definitely turn up the volume on type anatomy and things like that. And but I'll keep those core like disciplines of the branding all the way to motion and have it where everyone is like sketching at the same time or something. And with the Design Eye, everyone sketches like one at a time because I wanted to make sure, you know, again, for youth to be able to have that time to do their thing. But that doesn't say like other players while they're waiting, they can study and sketch during someone else's turn. But for Design Eye Pro, it will be way more engaging, like way more. We're in the zone. We all got to do this. We're on the clock. All right, everyone show up their ideas, that kind of thing. So, and I'm also going to have an app. I plan to make Design Eye digital. I have it on Tabletopia, but that was just something to have because of COVID-19. But I do intend to have a more fleshed out digital app that you can, for you to be able to play players online and also study some of the content. So you'll have your own like a portal account and you'll see more of the Haas school. So there's a lot of lore. It'll be a whole universe, so, a part of it. So that's coming.
That's awesome, man. So what is your, you know, your family didn't see design as like a career path, right? Much like mine. How does your family feel about design now?
Well, my dad is happy. and we were just talking the other day about it. And because when I told him I was pursuing design, he, you know, is it, how much money do you make? Blah, blah, blah. So now that I'm here, he, you know, he feels really good of where I am. And I mean, all my family, they and friends, they respect and love and appreciate like things that I do once I educate them about what design really is. And so, yeah, they're definitely like down hip with tools.
Right. You know, there's thousands of designers out there that are unsure of what to do next. As a young designer yourself, like besides wrapping up this successful Kickstarter campaign, what's next for you?
I've actually been thinking about really educating more youth or just stepping into the educational arena and being an educator, being a real certified teacher of some sort. So I can really be in a community, the urban community, and teach youth of color about design. And not kind of been doing that, you know, pre-COVID, you know, going to the schools and then going out to New York. So I want to do that as much as possible. And Gyro has played a big role in helping me like have that time to go out to these schools and do that. And I think as far as the studio, I mean, I'm thinking about, you know, exploring other types of work or clientele, but haven't figured it out yet. It's still like a learning and growing experience. I do want to broaden my portfolio as far as like the professional work that I have done. And I think in the back of my head is, or in the front of my head, is just really educating kids now. So I'm just being a leader or proponent in that endeavor and really getting into the curriculum at schools. So that's like, and that will most likely be my life's operation. So I want to have a Design Eye Foundation. I want to create a scholarship, like that kind of thing.
It's important that designers, you know, young designers or, you know, designers of any age really hear that even though you're, you know, you're kicking butt, taking names with the Design Eye game, you know, this flag and getting your name out there, you're, you know, you're doing great work. There's still some insecurities, right? You're still not sure 100% what you want to do. You have an idea of where you want to go. But I think for young designers, it's okay when they look around and see other people being successful, that there's still that opportunity to question yourself. You know, it's not abnormal. I think it's just normal that to be unsure of a kind of next step sometimes.
Yeah, because we're just not perfect beings. And I mean, I was that student, you know, I was salutatorian, Gates Scholar 4.0s, and I pretty much had my life planned out up until like the end of college. And then so then everything after that was just like, yeah, whatever happens, happens. But I mean, I know what I want. I know I want to grow and get more experience, but how it actually go down is like ultimately out of my control. So yeah, it's definitely okay to like have your searching moment But I think it's still important to have a plan, to really think about, I tell students, to really think about what they're passionate about doing, what they love doing, what they will be happy doing, so that they know that, yeah, this is something I could tap into and make a career out of. Or this is a place, or for graduates, this is a place where this culture at this studio is really cool. I really like the small, environment versus the big environment. So really like understanding what makes you comfortable, but also what gives you that knack to be challenged too. So, you know, we still have to step outside of our comfort zone. I still consider myself an introvert, but I think it really just takes really believing in your work. It's your work. So believing that you can help make an impact,
yeah.
Make that point. So
awesome, man. If anybody wants to contact you, ask questions, just learn more about you and what you're working on, what's the best place they can reach out?
Email. So if they go to my website, deonmixon.com, and they can just email me through there.
Okay.
Yeah, all of my sites, the flag site, the game site, they have a link to my personal site, and they can just email me.
Excellent. And I'll have links in the show notes to how to contact you.
And so, also social media. It doesn't really matter. Like, I check everything. Whether they call me or email me, I prefer email, though. My Instagram is deonmixon.
Yeah. And I'm the yellow pawn, by the way, you know?
Yeah, of course. But. Of course. I'm the red pawn. So you're the package professional. I'm the brand master. So,
there you go. Yeah. Awesome, man. So, Deon, I really appreciate you being on. I think this is awesome what you're doing. I can't wait to get my hands on a game, get some designers to join and play as well and learn more about this game.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me, man.
Absolutely, man. Thank you so much.
Please rate, review, and subscribe to Package Design Unboxed. I'm Emilio Matos, and I want to thank Deon for being on, and thanks you for listening. Talk soon.